need to turn this on?
Yeah, I need to turn it.
How you doing?
Push the
button. I'm just kidding. I'm Doug Rock, the machiner. And she,
yeah.
It's open for Bible's book of Proverbs chapter 23, and where we'll start at. I'll tell you what, beloved, I've enjoyed the preaching today. It's just been a blessing. Good to see Brother Sean.
Yeah.
Excellent. Just excellent. Yeah. I taught him everything I knew. It was absolutely excellent. I enjoyed every message. What we're going to do is Proverbs 23 and verse 26 says, "My son, give thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways." My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for this meeting and these folks, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would bless these messages and that they would be dwell down deep in our hearts, that we never forget what we heard and learned today. Lord, we pray for the different pastors that are here today, and we pray that you would grant them increase where they're laboring at, and
amen.
And we pray that we'd see, continue to see souls saved. Touch hearts today, in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to begin by saying I'm so thankful that God gave me a change of heart in a new birth. And if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't even be here.
Right.
And it's just because of God's grace that I'm here today. Paul said, "I am what I am by the..." And that's true of every one of us. It's not because we're smarter. Sometimes, if we ain't careful, we can get a little bit arrogant about things. And if it wasn't for Him, and if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, and if it wasn't for Him opening our hearts, we'd still yet be where we was at before. One of the things that I try to do is, Pop, you say this all the time, or does still yet say it. You don't ever want to forget where you come from.
Amen. That's right.
And they used to say it to us in football and things. Don't forget where you come from. Just keep pushing. Well, we need to remember why we are what we are and why we're at where we're at.
Right.
And that's just because of Him. The heart is a gift for God. I fear, beloved, that many have made a profession of faith in the Lord, but their hearts are divided. And I see a lot of that today. They have one foot in the world, and then they got one foot in the church house. And you really don't know which one is showing up. And one of the things I think that causes is it hinders revival. I think it's a hindrance to revival when you get people that are not what I would call wholehearted. I think there's a lot of people that have made professions of faith, but there's no heart in it. They're not wholehearted. And what you see in public is not what they are in private. I want to be wholehearted. I want to be clean where God sees. And you know, beloved, God sees everywhere. And I want to conduct myself in such a way as to bring glory and honor and praise to my Savior. I want to do that more than anything else. I'm going to give you three areas in which we need to give God our heart. Three areas in which we are to give God our heart. Number one, we're to give God our heart in our worship.
Amen.
We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm not going to be windy, I don't think. Always give yourself an honorable out. We need to give our hearts in our worship. We'll talk a lot about worship. Number two, we need to give God our hearts in our service. We have a service to do for the Lord. Yeah, we need to give God our hearts, see. Not going through the motions.
Right.
Not giving leftovers. Giving your what? Heart in our service. And then number three, we need to give God our hearts in our praise. So that'll just be 3 points I'll give you. We'll work this out, okay? All right. We need to give God our hearts in our worship. And when I'm talking about worship on this first part of it, I'm talking about public worship. Public worship. I think public worship, it's my happiest time on earth. I love to worship with God's people. I love coming up here and being with you. I love seeing Sean, and I love being with y'all. I really do. I enjoy being with God's people. I don't have to do anything but sit on that pew and listen to the preachers preaching. I enjoy it. I love public worship. But beloved, one thing public worship requires is it requires a little bit of preparation before you ever come.
Right.
I think people want to think about what you're getting ready to do before you ever come. To get your mind straight. I had an old football coach, boy, his man was a striped snake. And he would come in and we'd get on the bus. I've told you guys this before. We'd get on the bus and he would not allow us to talk. Isn't that horrible? You might go to Ravenswood or somewhere to play football, but you couldn't talk. Man, if you talk, it's bad. It was a horrible thing if you talked. Here's what he said. He'd come on the bus. His belly was that big around. He'd come on the bus. He said, "All right, boys, shut your mouths and think about what you're getting ready to do."
Amen.
That's what he'd say. And that stuck with me all the way down to the day. Before we worship, I think we ought to always have preparation before we do. We've got to sit down and think about what we're getting ready to do. We're not going to be singing songs. We're going to be praying. I'm going to be listening to a message or I'll be giving a message. But I seek to prepare myself. Preachers prepare. You know usually who gets the most out of a church service? Really? Preachers. You know why? They've worked hard on it. They spend hours and hours and hours in study. They're thinking. So when they come to the church house, they got the eye, buddy. They're ready to worship. That requires preparation.
Right.
I think one of the things that hinders revival in churches is that there's not preparation made for that. We just come in and sit down and say, "All right, hit me with it." You know what I mean? And it has to be a little preparation on our part.
Amen.
We want to have good worship. We want to sing from our hearts. Right? We sing. But a song isn't blessed unless you sing it from your heart. Which is really meaning. Which requires what? Preparation. You think about what you're getting ready to do. Boy, it's a great service when the Holy Spirit moves in a meeting. And people are filled with the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But, beloved, I want to tell you something. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when you're at your best.
Right.
That's when you display those precious fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
So, very important that we have some preparation for that. Now, let's turn to Acts 2. Let's see here where I want to go. Just go to John 4. I've got plenty of time right now. We're going to talk about worship. It's one of the highest duties of man is to worship their God. John chapter 4, and we want to notice verse... John chapter 4 and verse 21. It talks about true worship. Now, this is verse 22. I'm sorry, let's go to verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what." Well, I can go to a lot of places and say that. There's a lot of places I can go to and say, "Ye worship, ye know not what." For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh. And now is. So it was now is back in Jesus' day. It's been 2,000 years since then. But the hour's coming, and now is. Everybody say now is.
Yeah.
Now is, see. And that includes us today. The hour's coming, and now is, when true worshipers. What kind of worshiper?
True.
A true worshiper. Yeah. There's an opposite to that.
Yeah.
There's false worship, and there's a
true worship.
We want to be true worshipers.
Amen.
Of course, to be a true worshiper, you have to have the truth. You can't have true worship unless you have the truth. So true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yes, sir.
In spirit. Of course, to worship in spirit, you have to have the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, we realize worship is inward and comes outward, but we have to have the Holy Spirit's help in all those things. Before I go to church, of course, I do a lot of preparation for preaching and things that I do. But before I go, I pray.
Amen.
I pray. I say, God, help me preach.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot, there's going to be lost people there today, Lord. Lord, touch somebody's heart. There's people here today. There's people that's drifted and things in the church, Lord. Would you speak to their hearts and you pray and you get ready so that when you come in, you're ready to worship.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. You don't wait to get ready for worship after you get there.
Right.
It's preparation that has to be made before you come. If we did that, it'd make a big difference in the church service.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there has to be preparation for public worship.
Amen.
You must do that. And pray. Get along with the Lord. Well, I do. I get alone with the Lord. I get all my studying done and things, and I'm ready to roll, you know. And I'll say, God, move in our church today. Touch hearts. Open hearts. Draw sinners, Lord, to trust you today. Anyone out of fellowship with you, Lord, touch their hearts. And you come in hell prepared. That's what I mean for public worship.
Yeah.
You have to prepare. Start in Acts 4. Acts 4. Acts chapter 4. And this verse 31, I think. It gives you an honorable out. I've never had one of these meetings that Acts 4 is talking about. But I sure would like to have one.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yes, sir.
Well,
yeah, boy.
I know. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Watch this now. Let me move up just a hair. Oh, my. It's hard to split it. Look at verse 28. It's hard to go down that way. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine to be done. And now, Lord, behold, they're threatening. They're threatening. The church is beginning to be persecuted. And grant unto thy servants that with all what?
Boldness.
Need boldness. You know, I do fear many times with regard to witnessing. We worry too much about what other people think.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great hindrance to all of us. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not talking about any church house now. I'm talking about out. We get a little bit worried about what somebody might think. If I bring up Jesus, if I bring up the gospel, or I ask him, are you saved, or I ask him, have you ever trusted Christ? We just got to be more bolder in this thing.
Yes.
And in a lot of cases, we just aren't. Well, here in this text, they're praying. And let's go down to verse 31. When they prayed, what happened to the place? The place was shaken. I've never had that happen. I'd probably run if I did, but wouldn't you? You know what I mean? We wouldn't know what was going on.
Right.
I mean, we really wouldn't understand what was happening. And this all happened as a result of what? What was they doing? They was praying. We underestimate the power of prayer. We underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit, too. Man, he can move things.
Yep, amen.
And he can move people, and he can move churches.
That's right.
He can do great things. When they prayed, the place was shaken. And they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word how? Boldness. Holy Spirit moved.
Yeah.
And the church was just set on fire, and they spake the word with boldness.
Amen.
I want that. I want that right
there.
We can have it. How's it start? We pray. We pray. Get in touch with the Lord. Well, we need to give our hearts in our worship. When we come to God's house, it needs to be something that you prepare for before you ever get here. We prepare for the Lord's Supper. We stress it at the Lord's Supper. But we don't stress it in the... I don't know about you, I'm talking about down home. But we don't stress it in church. We need to get ourselves ready. We need to think about what we're getting. I did this one time, and I mentioned to you... I'm going to mention this to you, another football thing. It's important to prepare yourself for a football game. It's important to think about what you're getting ready to do. So how much more important is it for all of us when we attend our churches to come in prepared and ready to go?
Amen.
I've preached before, and I've watched our congregation, and I've looked back here and I thought, they ain't in it. You know what I'm saying? They ain't in it. And then after a while, you know, about halfway through it, they get a little excited then, see, they're starting to move. You know why it took that long? They never prepared.
Yeah.
They just kind of walked in and said, hit me with it. Well, it don't work that way.
Right.
If you're going to give God a worship that's from your heart, it requires thought and preparation.
Amen.
It really does. And I'm talking right now about what kind of worship, public worship. Now, the second kind of more, this is going to the same point, but the second type of worship we must do is private worship. That's the part that's worrying me. We come to public worship. We should prepare for public worship, but I've told you that. But private worship is the worship is just between you and God. I love that. My happiest time on earth is worshiping my God. And I do it. I do it every day. I thought he's coming to get me. And I do it every day of my life. I worship Him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm hyper. I can't sit still. I really can't. I have to move. If you sit me down and ask me to pray, I'm just hyper. You know how I pray? Walk.
Yeah.
I'm a walker. Mm-hmm. I walk. I'll walk for an hour. Hour just depends on it. I pray the whole trip. I go out of Holland pray, and I used to pray around back, but people start hearing me. I had to move. I didn't want people hearing me. Because my son was in the house one day, and his friend was there, and he said, "Who's your dad talking to in the backyard? I don't see anybody back there." He said, "Dad's praying. Dad's praying." Got to prepare. So we need public prayer, and we need what other kind of prayer? Private. Psalm 55. I'm where you at? I know it went last. That's Don's doing. Psalm 55. Notice what it says in verse 16 and 17. "As for me, I'll call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." Now listen to this. Evening? What else it said? Morning? And at noon, I'll pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
Amen.
That's private worship, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
They prayed public and they prayed private. And what's that do? That helps your worship. We need both of those.
Amen.
And what that'll do, it'll strengthen us all the way around. It'll strengthen the whole church. If the whole church prays, public and private, and they do it with heart, God will bless that thing.
Amen. He will.
Good.
Prayer is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is the key. Brother Daniel, he, of course, they practiced public worship, but Brother Daniel believed in private worship too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Three times a day, buddy. I just mentioned that a little while ago. Three times a day, morning, noon, what again? He lifted his voice up and prayed to the Lord. And when it was declared illegal,
yeah,
he prayed anyhow.
Amen.
That took courage, didn't it? Opened his window, faced Jerusalem,
yeah,
and prayed. That's a glorious thing. So, we need to give God our hearts in our worship. Public, and what else?
Private.
Spend time privately with the Lord. We live in a very unique time. A very unique time. We got our own copy. You know, I can't remember if it was Deuteronomy or Numbers or which text it was. I was teaching through one time. But I noticed when they made the law, when they made a copy of the law, they made a copy to put it at the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? But also read where they made a copy of the law for the king. They made a copy for the king, so that he could meditate in that both day and night. It was important that the leader have the scriptures so that they could meditate in it both day and night. So you need private worship, and what other worship? You need public worship. You need both of them. Number two, we need to give God's heart in our worship, but we also need to give God our hearts in our service. We're on active duty right now, aren't we? You know God don't retire you. You've been trying to retire for years, haven't you, brother? And God don't retire you.
No.
He don't say, "Yep, you've done enough. It's time to quit." We serve Him all our days.
Don't discharge.
Yeah, He don't discharge you. You might say we might have to change what we do as we age, but we can always serve Jesus. We can always serve Him. And we need to give Him our hearts in our service.
Yeah.
I think the things of the Lord should come before anything else.
Yeah.
I think God's things are the number one things. And I think in our priority list, I think He should be top.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think He should come behind anything. That irritates me to death. So many things are placed ahead of the Lord. And Christian people are doing it. Christian people are doing it. They're letting the world take advantage of time that needs to be spent at God's house.
Amen.
On other things. I'm still irritated over that. Still bothers me.
Me too.
There needs to be a little bit more, not a little bit, a lot more dedication to the Lord and the things of the Lord.
Amen.
We need to give God hearts in our service. I want to, beloved, don't you want to get well done? I mean, seriously. Wouldn't you like to have the Master one day look at you and say, "Well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant." Mm-hmm. How many? Does that mean something to you? Raise your right hand if it does.
Amen.
That's something that we want. We don't want it for our own glory, but it's because we want to have that type of service for Him. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't try to do that at all. My concern is to please one person.
Amen.
And that's my God.
Amen.
And I kind of figure if I please my God, then everything else will kind of fall in place, don't you?
Amen.
We need to give God our hearts and our service. I think if someone has a duty in the church, they should be faithful to it.
Amen.
How many agrees with that?
Yeah.
I think if someone has a duty in the church, I think they should be faithful to it.
Me too.
And if someone isn't faithful to it, it irritates me to death.
Yeah.
I expect people to be faithful. If they're a Sunday school teacher, if they're a deacon, whatever they do, I expect them to be faithful in it. I'm sorry. I keep saying that. God expects them to be faithful in it.
Amen.
It's God's church.
Amen. That's right.
And you represent Him.
Amen.
give God our hearts and our service. Put everything you got into it. I want you to turn to Romans 14. Y'all hang with me now. I've waited all day now. I hope that ain't for me either. Romans chapter 14. I'm real aware of this text, and notice what it says. As it is written, verse 11, Romans 14, 11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. And one day we'll do that, won't we? I'm glad to do it. Aren't y'all glad to do it? Won't that be great? So then, every one of us shall give an account to who? Got to give account to our Lord.
Amen.
We got to give an account to our Lord. And we want Him to be pleased with our service.
Right.
We want Him to be pleased with our service. Turn to Matthew 25 then. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Notice what it says in verse, we'll start at 19. There's a lot of people who claim to be servants. There's a lot of people who claim to be servants that don't serve. Right? Watch this text now. It says in Matthew 25, and let's go ahead and this is about the parable of the talents. And let's start at verse 17. Likewise, he that had received two, he gained other two. But he that received one went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servant come and reckoned with him. He's going to check out what they did with what God gave them, you know. Is God going to do that? He sure is. Be accountable for what you did with your life after you've been born again. And verse 20, and so he that received five talents came and brought five more talents. He worked hard. He was dedicated. He did that for the Lord. He didn't do it for himself. Lord, thou deliverest to me five talents. Behold, I've gained them five talents more. And his Lord said, well done. Don't you? There you have it. Well done, thou good and faithful. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. He also came and received two talents and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I've gained two other talents beside them. What did he say to this guy? Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? Well, then we're left with this last servant. And he's called an unprofitable servant. And he's addressed in verse 24. There came, which had received, verse 24, there came he who received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. So in other words, it's all God's fault.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, I knew you was a tough guy, so... You know, I didn't do it because of you. He's blaming his lack of work on him.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Right.
The Lord answered and said unto thou wicked, slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchange changers, that at my coming I could receive my own with usury. Take the talent from him, and give it to him that has 10 talents. The one that put the most into it.
Amen.
The one that put the most into it.
That's right.
You just dwell on that for a bit too. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. What does it say about this unprofitable servant? This man here has you could say this man here has a profession of faith. You could say that man here had a profession of faith. He was a servant. He was called. a servant. But what didn't he do? He didn't serve. So what's he say? What was done with this servant here that claimed to know Jesus, but yet his whole life he never served him? What's the son done?
Yeah.
Cast ye the unprofitable servant to outer darkness where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This isn't a carnal Christian.
Amen.
This isn't a carnal Christian. This is a lost man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are calling people carnal Christians that are lost men.
That's right.
They have no desire to worship. They have no desire to study the book. They have no desire to serve Jesus. They're unprofitable. They don't witness. They don't pray. They don't do anything. They're on the roll book, maybe, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or they was baptized when they was 8. But for 50 years, they ain't served Jesus.
Right.
Give God your heart in your... Give God your heart in your service. Put something in it.
Amen.
Because he's worthy of it.
Yes, he is.
Last of all, so I'll give you 2. We're talking about giving God our hearts, and we give God our hearts in our worship. We give God our hearts in our service. We work hard for him.
Yeah.
Because he deserves it, y'all agree?
Amen.
He deserves it. And then, last of all, we need to give God our hearts and our praise. I realize that's also part of worship too, but I wanted to focus a little bit on praise. I think God loves our praise. I think he does. I think that's something that we need to choose to do every day of our life. This is your last text. Turn to Psalm 69, just about that. Psalm 69. Giving God your heart. Does God deserve your heart and worship?
Yes.
He does. Does he deserve our heart and our service? Problem is, people aren't giving God their heart in these things. Like my old football coach said, and just going through the motions. No heart. You ever have your coach tell you that, brother? Just going through the motions. No heart. Psalm 69. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song. God enjoys our singing when we sing from our heart. Don't you agree? Psalms is all about the singing. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with what? Thanksgiving. He'll praise you with a song. Praise him with a song. And I'll magnify him with what? Thanksgiving. Now, when you praise the name of God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving, what does verse 31 say that does? I'm asking. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or a bullock. Sounds funny maybe to us, but that was the most expensive sacrifices you could offer. What he's saying here is that when you praise the name of God with a song and you magnify him with thanksgiving, that pleases the Lord better than the most expensive sacrifices that you can offer. Beloved, we need to give God our hearts. We need to give God our hearts in our worship, which requires preparation. That's all I'm trying to say. It requires prep. You know why these preachers is all fired up when they come up here and preach and they're rolling? They prepare. They spend hours and hours and hours and hours studying. You that are teachers, you know exactly what I'm saying. You teach classes. You spend hours and hours studying, and then you go teach the class. Who gets the most out of it? You do. Normally you do. You got to put something into it. In our worship, in our service, and in our praise. May God add his blessings to you.
Amen.